We're going to get down this morning to a Bible lesson that deals with the real issues of life. One of the things I think we make the mistake of doing is we kind of talk too spiritual about everything. And there's a place for that, but there's also a place to talk about things that we all have to deal with. So we're talking about biblical solutions. Jamin's on the con. Biblical solutions to the five problems that are common to man. Now, when I first did this lesson sheet back in 2016, we were simply pointing out what the five problems that are common to man were. Now we're giving you the biblical solutions, so we're adding verses to the lesson sheet. So we're going to update this as we go, and we're going to talk about today about relationships. Anybody have any idea why I do those lesson sheets? I'm just so bored, I can't help it. You know who I think about whenever I talk about the lesson sheets? Coco Rupsiman. She was born again, going home one night. She'll tell you this, her testimony. She was born again. She went home one night. We gave a lesson sheet out. She went home and went through the lesson sheet, and she realized she wasn't born again. And she gave her life to the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. What we're trying to do in this format is try to offer you the solutions to the five problems that are common to man. And what's the first thing or on the lesson sheet? What's a problem that everybody has to deal with? Money. We tried to figure out who sung that song, and it turned out to be Pink Floyd. But I'm not going to try to sing it again. There's been a couple. And then, of course, there was a singer by the name of Eddie Money. Remember Eddie Money? Yeah. I don't think he sang about money, but his name was Money. Anyway, I'm not going to focus on these because I've done them. If I stop on them, I won't get to what I want to talk about. The second thing we all have to deal with is fear. Now, I am going to stop and talk about this because how many remember that both times I talked about fear, I used airplane travel as my example? How many remember that? Well, we went flying last Saturday. And I'm telling you, I couldn't ask for two of the better flights known to man. Now, the one that left Phoenix to Cincinnati, there were a few clouds that he had to go around, and he said it was going to get bumpy, and so he wouldn't turn off the fastened seatbelt sign. And I had to tinkle. How many of you have been there? Well, so finally... It was an hour and a half into the flight, and the seatbelt light's on. So finally I said to the waitress or the stewardess or whatever you call them now, and she was in between, by the way. She was an in-betweener. Bless her heart. I said, listen, will I go to jail if I get up and go? She says, no, I can't make you. I got to tell you, you can't go, but I can't make you not go. So I went up and went. Anyway, why'd I get on that plane? I believed in the pilot, I believed in the plane, I believed in the process, and I believed in the statistics. I'm just talking about that. Then yesterday we got on the plane in Nashville, and I don't believe I've ever had a better flight. I sat right by the wing, and that thing just stayed steady the whole time, just floated through the sky. And I got to go to the bathroom anytime I wanted to. But here's what I want to tell you on my trip. You know the worst part of that trip? We landed in Phoenix, Arizona. First of all, it was 118 degrees in the shade. We won't tell you what else we did when we were there, but we met with Anna. So anytime you meet with Anna, it costs money. Anyway, the worst part of the trip was we got home. We started leaving about 6:30, and we ran into some monsoon rain or some monsoon thunderstorms, and there's traffic from Phoenix to Sierra Vista, bumper to bumper. That is absolutely the worst part of the trip. And that's what keeps me from going regularly to Phoenix is that road. Amen. See, so I don't have near as much faith in that as I do airplanes now. Victory in Jesus. Amen. Everybody cool? So anyway, we talked about fear. More trust, less fear. Less trust, more fear. And you can't have faith in something you don't believe in. Right? There's no way I would get on an airplane if I didn't have some level of faith in it. There's no way I'd get in my car if I didn't have some level of faith in it. Got it? I can't go back. I'm done. You can listen to them anytime you want on the internet at lifeinchristchurch.net. Thank you, James Taylor. The third thing we're going to talk about today is relationships, and we're going to focus on that one this morning. The fourth one is everybody has to deal with health. Things are going to come up in your life that's going to need to be fixed, and the best way to get it fixed is through the Word of God. God's Word is life to those that find it, and health to all their flesh.
Amen.
Amen, that's true. And then we all have to deal with dying. Unless there's one generation of people that aren't going to die. We could be that generation. Let me say this to you. The longer I'm alive, the more I think we might be that generation. Guess what they've said in Washington, D.C.? You're nodding at me. Maybe you know where I'm going. They have now said that they know for a fact that there have been aliens that have visited the United States of America. Did you know that, Donnie? Some guy testified, and supposedly they killed one of them or captured one of them. So in this room right now could be an alien. I could be that alien. I've got my green card. But you know, here's my theory on that. See, even if there turns out to be something like that, it was a demon, or it was an angel, or I don't know. But what it was a demon. And what that's doing is that's getting us ready to be able to explain to people why we're all gone. See, there's got to be a reason to be able to explain to people what happened to the church. And the Bible says that God's going to send them a strong delusion. With the combination of that, the combination of this artificial intelligence that's going to basically eliminate the need for anybody to go to college. In fact, as a CPA, you can plug in tax stuff and it'll tell me what to do. You know that? And the Bible talks about that in the last days, technology is going to be so progressive that it's going to be a sign of the last days. So we could be that generation. We may not be, but we could be. If Jesus comes back today, is anybody going to turn him down? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Again, though, you have to make sure everybody understands he prayed to the Father not to take us out of the world, but to keep us from the evil one. I wish the church knew about the evil one. Oh, my goodness. Amen. So, let's talk about relationships, and then let's talk about something as we get into this. I want you to understand, and I don't think I've clarified this. Put a relationship up there, Jamin. This lesson sheet is geared towards people who are born-again Christians. Everybody listen, I don't know if I've developed that enough. This is a lesson sheet that will only work if you know the Lord. See, you can't love, there's no possible way on God's great green earth, there's no possible way that you can turn the other cheek without having God on the inside of you. I'm waiting for people to say something. There's no way that you can love your neighbor as yourself on any level, without being blessed and anointed by God, without being a new creature in Christ. And really and truly, folks, the solution to relationship problems is easy. The implementation of it is very difficult. Can I get an amen? I'll show you this. I want to say it again. The solution, and by the way, see, this is, the more and more I do this, the more I understand that I'm called to this and that we need this. This is not jumping over a chandelier and shouting and scolding you and hollering at you and telling you how awful you are and how you need to fly right. We all know that anyway, don't we? This is about how to get through life. How many of you know life is not easy? Huh? It's not easy. It should be fun in the Lord, but it's not easy, and without Him, you can't do it. You can't do it. Absolutely can't. So the solution to relationship problems is not hard biblically. It's not hidden biblically, but the implementation of it is very difficult because what it asks you to do is to put somebody else ahead of you. We love doing that. Don't we just love doing that? Don't we just love putting somebody else above us? This lesson sheet, I'm doing a little different. I'm going to actually start in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, in this, and so who's this written to? It's written to me. Everybody in here is a Christian, unless you're one of those people that came in that spaceship. But I don't think so. I've seen y'all around here before. Amen? It says, this is written to Christians. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, were you raised with Christ? Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Again, these are verses of Scripture that just need to be dissected and talked about and ministered to. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, and we've been raised up with Him. Okay? Again, you can't cover everything in a 50 to 55 minute sermon, and my sermons don't end, I just continue them. Right? But this says that you're to seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2, I haven't even got to my verse, but I wanted to read to it. Verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Say that with me, everybody. Now here's the verse that's coming next. Wait for a little build up. Here's the verse that's coming next that'll give us the answer to relationship problems. The answer is given easily or given generously or not hidden, but oh, it's hard to think about doing all the time. Verse 3, for you died. Me. Mark Browning. When I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, Mark Browning died, and Jesus is the one who lives in me. I said that so easy. That just flowed right off my tongue. It's no longer, Paul said it like this, don't turn there, Galatians 2:20. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Easy to say, isn't it? But implementing it and walking it out can be very difficult because human nature always wants to be right. Amen. Next week, I'm going to do one thing. Next week, I'm going to do two sermons on relationships. And next week, I'm going to be so bold as to talk about the marriage relationship because I am an expert on it. Because we just completed 25 wonderful years. We spent the day mostly in the lake paddling. It was so hot you had to be in the water. But I am going to talk a little bit about that. I do that about once a year, talk about that and talk about that deal. But this relationship deal here is about everything. Husband, wife, parents, children, employee, employer, church members. See, if you really have died and it's no longer you who live, then people can't hurt you. See, dead people don't have their feelings hurt. They're dead. Right? And again, see how easy that flows off my tongue? What percentage of my life do I operate that? None of your business. None of your business. Is it anywhere near 100%? I wish it was. Is it anywhere near 50%? I wish it was. Is it greater than zero?
Yes, close.
See, a dead person don't get their feelings hurt. And a dead person doesn't care what you do to them. What we haven't built inside of the born-again person is who they are in Christ and understanding that we're not the same old person we used to be. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we have the life and nature of God on the inside of us. See, the life and nature of God is the nature of love. See, so many people think that God's wrath is being poured out. God's wrath is not even close to being poured out. When God's wrath is poured out, you won't have to wonder about it. And I'm not an expert on the book of Revelation, but I know for a fact that 1/3 of the population is going to be destroyed. And I got up this morning, and as far as I know, 1/3 of the population is still not being destroyed. Because it's not the day of wrath, it's not the age of wrath, it's the age of reconciliation. Now, people don't understand that don't understand the Bible and haven't understood how to divide the Bible. It doesn't mean that people get away with stuff. See, ministers think, well, you're going to let people get away with something. And usually the minister that says that's the one that's getting away with something. Anyway, you're not going to get away with anything because there's a law in the land. There's a law that God implemented called the law of sowing and reaping. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. But God's not the one that's causing the problem. It's not the wrath of God that's causing the destruction and the pain and the misery. It's the law of sin and death. And Jesus Christ came to redeem us from the law of sin and death and became a curse for us so that the blessing of Abraham might come on us. And again, that's not the blessing of Abraham so we can drive the best car in Sierra Vista. It's the blessing of Abraham so we can be a blessing. Amen. And I'm telling you, there's more infighting and there's more jealousy and there's more dissension, there is just as much in the church as there is in the world. I've run into it for 27 years. I've dealt with it for 27 years. Some of it I've caused. Most of it I didn't cause. But what I didn't cause, I didn't handle right. I've had some people that did some stuff to us in this ministry. We didn't even have any idea that they were against what we were talking about. We promoted them. We gave them a position. We paid them. We loved them. We blessed them. We thought they were on board with us. And they come and announce to us 7 years in that they never did believe in the ministry, that they don't think the message is scriptural. And they want to leave. But before they leave, they want us to throw them a banquet. And I didn't handle that correctly. I got my feelings hurt because my first response was shock and awe. And I'm not talking about the war in Iraq. My first response was, I can't believe that. I didn't know that. I didn't know these people felt that way. They were up there singing and smiling. You know, they never did anything besides what they did on Sunday or Wednesday. They never did anything else. They were never around, never helped. But I thought, at least they're on board, but they were never on board. And that hurt. It hurt me. And I took it personally, but if I'd have been dead, I wouldn't have took it personally. I'd have turned the other cheek and I'd have kept going forward. But I did learn from it. And I got over into a place where I got into negativism. And I got over into talking bad about people. And finally the Lord said to me one day, son, you've got to quit doing that. And I said, Lord, I believe I've received that because it won't get you anywhere. Strife will only lead to misery. Say that, everybody. Strife will only lead to misery. See, the reason why God's telling us these things is for our good, not for our bad. He doesn't want you to get over into strife because when you get over into strife, and I don't have the Bible verses ready for you, but the Bible says in Timothy that when you get over into strife, you're actually being taken captive by the devil to do his will. And we've all been in situations like that. You know, married people, I'm sure that, you know, I mean, I think me and Teresa in our 25 years, I can say without, but I found this out, she surprised me one day. It was worse for her than it was for me. I thought we only had 3 little major fights. See how I said little major? I covered myself on that. We've had about 3 major fights, and they're usually something to do with traveling or relatives. Can I get an amen? Usually it's about a relative or something we're doing or whatever. Anyway, one time we went on a trip and she didn't pack my toothbrush. Oh, Jordan, don't you look at me like that. And she ran off from the hotel and she didn't go. She was gone for like 2 hours. And I thought, oh, my God, she's gone over a toothbrush. I said, kids, what are we going to do? I said, first of all, I don't know how to do anything, so you're on your own. We're on vacation, and if she don't come back, all we're going to do is sit in this hotel room. Amen. Let me use that for an illustration, just for illustrative purposes. See, because we have the Lord inside of us, sooner or later, if you pay attention, sooner or later, he'll encourage you. He'll lift you up and he'll tell you, make peace. Make peace. Nothing's going to come out of strife except evil. James says where there's envy and confusion and strife, there's every evil thing. Again, dead people don't worry about whether you packed them a toothbrush or not. They're not brushing their teeth anymore anyway. Can I get an amen? Now watch this. For you died. Y'all see where I'm going? For you died. You died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. You have the capacity on the inside of you. Me and you do. If we're Christians, we have the capacity to manifest the love of God. Say it one more time. Amen. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And let me show you this verse. It says, and that you put on the new man. See, there was an old man that died. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, one translation says, behold, a brand new species of being has come into existence. That person that's on the inside of us is made, listen to this, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God. Who created it? Who created it? According to God in true righteousness and holiness. See, this is what so many people don't understand, and this is why I run into so many people that don't understand what we're trying to tell them. And I feel so bad about it because I can't do anything about it. You can't get any more righteous and holy than you are. And I don't care if you go home today. I'm talking about born-again believers. Listen to me very carefully. I'm talking about born-again people. I'm talking about people who have genuinely acknowledged the Lordship of Jesus. Has everybody in this room done that? I'm telling you. I'm talking about people that have genuinely acknowledged the Lordship of Jesus. I don't care if you go home today and have the worst fight in your life with your spouse. You're still righteous and holy. And people don't understand that because they're looking at how they're acting instead of looking at what the Word of God says. Because you're never going to cross every T and dot every I anyway. Now, again, people hear that and they say, well, then, I'm just going to go home and give my husband what for. Now, if that's the heart of you, if that's your attitude, I'm challenging and questioning whether or not you've actually been born again. Because you don't want to get up in the morning and cause strife. You don't. Sometimes strife's going to happen. Because you deal with personalities. You deal with situations. What we have and what the world doesn't have is we have God in us. And we can look on the inside of us and be able to let that live from us and not be dominated by a carnal nature. See, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Look at this. As a result of this new person, and again, let me say this to you too. I've been teaching this for 27 years, and this is something you never actually get complete victory. You never get complete victory, but it's something that should always be what you shoot for. And let me tell you where we make our mistake. The Word of God says that we're a new creature in Christ and that we've been created in true righteousness and holiness. Do you know that it doesn't matter if you ever feel that? It's not about feeling it. It's about believing it. It's about receiving it. It's about seeing it on the inside of you. James talks about a mirror in James chapter 1. He talks about looking into the perfect law of liberty. I'm not going to turn there because I got other things I want to talk about, but he calls the Word of God. Back in the day, all they had was the law, but they didn't have the New Testament bounded up. And so he calls the law the perfect law of liberty. Remember that? And he says that what you do is you look into that perfect law of liberty like it's a mirror. How many of you this morning, before you came to church, looked in the mirror? How many of you liked what you saw as much as I did? I'm joking. I've got to let my pants out a little. I've discovered something better than Snickers. I've discovered Häagen-Dazs. Anybody ever had a Häagen-Dazs ice cream bar? If you can only eat one, I'm going to let you start preaching every Sunday. It's a two minimum. And if things are really bad, it's three. They only come three to a box at Fry's, and they're $800. Money well spent. Anyway, he talks about you look into this mirror. But he uses, on the negative side, he says you look into the law of liberty, you see what the law of liberty says, but as soon as you look at the law of liberty, you walk away from it and you forget what you saw. Now, most of us, when we look in the mirror, naturally, we want to forget what we see. But what you got to do, see, and this is a lifelong thing, and that's why it's important to that's why these lesson sheets are important. You can use these as your mirror. You can read these verses of Scripture and see this as your mirror. You can see that, and we don't have these verses up here yet, but we will. You can see that I've been created by God in true righteousness and holiness. I got to build that inner picture on the inside of me. Again, easy to say, hard to implement. Right? We live in a fallen world. You know, the more I live, the longer I understand that these iPhones might have been the greatest curse ever been brought on humanity. I realized on that vacation how connected I am to those things. If I was at the lake and I didn't have that cell phone, I felt like some part of my body was gone. And you need to turn loose of that. Most of that stuff on there. Now, you know, I read the Bible on it, but I also read Fox News and all that other stuff. Amen. Read about all the... By the way, bless our darling hearts. Can we get term limits going before they all pass out and die on us? So this is your mirror. The Word of God's the mirror. And you got to look at the Word of God, and you can't look at how you feel, and you can't look at what you want to do from a natural. You got to look at what the Word of God says. Not easy, but it's the way it works. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And when you get that picture on the inside of you, look what it tells you that this new man's going to do. And then you tell me if this will cause blessing in your life. Verse 31, look what it'll do. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness, do some arguments come from bitterness? Have there been people that got divorced because they were bitter? Have there been relationships broken because they're bitter? Yes. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, I don't know what clamor is. That's a baking soda, isn't it? Anybody know what clamor is? I'm sure it's not good. And evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now remember, here's another thing that you need to learn about the epistles, about the covenant. God never tells you what you need to do before he tells you what you can do. Don't write that down. See, he never tells you what you need to do before he tells you what you can do. He doesn't tell you to do these things and say you're on your own. He tells you to do these things because you're not the same old creature you used to be. Praise the Lord. Verse 32, here it is, verse 32. And be kind to one another. I love this word right here. Tender-hearted. Everybody say that. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. If that's the atmosphere that we create, are we going to have trouble with relationships? The other person might, but we won't. Because we died, and we're allowing the new man that's in us to be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Boy, we need some tender-heartedness. Amen. Like that movie, The Sound of Freedom. You'll watch that, and that'll cause a tender-hearted moment for you because you'll realize how sad it is what happens to these children. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Y'all see that? Y'all see where I'm going? Y'all scratching your head? Y'all saying, man, I wish you'd preach about grace. You know, this is about grace. Because you can't do it without grace. You can't do it by willpower. So you can't get up in the morning and say, you know, I'm going to be nice today. Oh, I'm going to be nice today. You won't get out of the garage. You won't make it. Guarantee it. You got to get up and say, Lord, I've died. It's no longer I who live, but it's Jesus who lives in me. I wish I could say those words and be able to say, that's how I did everything last week. But are y'all going to cut me a little slack? Don't we still owe it to people to tell people how the Bible teaches we're supposed to operate these things? And then the other thing is, it doesn't do a bit of good in the world to beat us up about how we're falling short of it. The best thing to do is to build us up about how we can overcome it. And again, if you get up in the morning and you want to be mean and nasty and snotty and you want to cause trouble everywhere you go, you need to check your location, because the God on the inside of you is not looking for trouble. He loves everybody. He loves everybody. Let's go over to Titus chapter 3, verse 2. Everybody see where we're going? Now again, who is Titus chapter 3 written to? Who's it written to? Say it, Donnie. It's written to the believers. It's written to me. And it says to speak, listen to this, to speak evil of no one. Boy, that's hard. Isn't that hard? Huh? Now, there is a verse of Scripture that I think gets us to be able to say some things that aren't appropriate, and that is we are to speak the truth in love. Amen? So again, it's perfectly fine to make a stand against the mutilation of our children. Are you with me? See, that's speaking the truth in love. Now, the motivation for that should be love, and I can't imagine why that wouldn't be the motivation. I can't imagine why any clear-thinking person would think it would be okay to watch a child change their sexual preference. I can't believe it. It's beyond my comprehension. It's beyond my comprehension that politicians would be on board allowing people to do that. So that's perfectly appropriate to speak that truth in love. But it's not appropriate just to speak evil of somebody just for the sake of speaking evil. To be peaceable. Y'all like these words? Y'all like the word tenderhearted? You like them? Aren't they good words? You like forgiveness? You like peaceable? Isn't that a good word, peaceable? Almost makes you want to kind of put some kind of music on, soft music, and it shows a waterfall, or it shows Rough River Lake, and I'm paddling in it, and I don't have a care in the world. I'm peaceable. Amen. Showing all, listen to this. This is important. Showing all humility to all men. One of the things that I had to repent of, coming out from under the Word of Faith movement, and one of the things that I had to apologize for was I wanted people to understand that we're not any better than you are, except for the fact that we found the knowledge of the truth. And because we know Jesus, our motivation is not to puff ourselves up, but our motivation is to get you acquainted with Him so you can know what we know. And there's a way to do that. Amen. But there was a dynamic that was operating in a large segment of the body of Christ. It's still going on today. You can watch it on TV. They're all puffed up in themselves. And the Apostle Paul would not approve of any of that if he was on the earth. He wouldn't be part of one of them crusades or whatever they call those things. Are you listening to me? Showing all humility to all men. Why? Why? Look at verse 3. For we ourselves were also once foolish. Were we? Were we once foolish? Am I the only one going to say amen? For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures. Listen to this. Living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. I never will forget this as long as I live. It's one of the great things about doing this for a long time. You can tell a few stories. I was teaching on this one Sunday in church, and I said, what is that a picture of? And I swear, but God is my witness, a woman blurted out, my marriage. And I thought, ooh, that's bad. And they didn't make it, because that can't be a picture of your marriage. You can't be living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. Sooner or later, a house divided won't stand. Are you with me? But anyway, see, this is the attitude of us, is that we don't consider ourselves better than anybody else. We just want people to be able to come out from under this, because all this will create is an avenue for the devil to destroy us. That's all it'll do. That's why Jesus said, turn the other cheek. That's why he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Because his kingdom is the kingdom of the Son of God's love. It's not the kingdom of darkness. And here's why. Verse 4. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, what direction did this all flow from? God to man. God to us. One other thing. Another barrier that we run into. Man is totally depraved without God. There's no good in our flesh. You can't stand before God because you think you did more good than bad. Nothing you do measures up to the goodness of God. Are you listening to me? If you're listening to my radio or internet, we're presenting this to you with love. I hope you understand that, but we're letting you know that don't spend another day thinking that because you haven't done something really awful, it makes you okay. If you keep the whole law but violate one part of it, you're guilty of all of it. So Jesus came, fulfilled the law and the prophets, said it is finished, and opened up eternal life to whoever calls on his name. Can you tell I'm kind of ministering to everybody in the internet and radio today too? I want you to hear that. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, verse 5, by the way, these are verses you ought to just have marked in your Bible and read regularly. Get that mirror on the inside of you. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration. That's the same thing. That's becoming a new creature, being born again, having a new man, and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, verse 6, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's what we got to build up in our lives right here, these things right here. Don't be reading the Bible and try to figure out who the Antichrist is. Don't worry about it. Get in there and figure out, bless God, how do I get that mirror? How do I know? How do I make sure that what's on the inside of me, what God has given to me, I'm not going to worry about not feeling it. I'm going to start reading it. I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to manifest it by the grace and mercy of Almighty God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let me give you this verse, and then I'll share this story with you, and then we'll close. All right. There was a guy, and I saw this, and this guy did this. This was amazing. The story I'm going to share with you, I think I shared it with you before, but it'll bear repetition. There was a gentleman that's not a Christian. He's not a Christian. I wouldn't call him a Christian. He may think he is, but I don't think he's a born-again Christian. But anyway, he sent out some kind of an email to a gentleman. Through the process of sending out this email, this one fella completely misunderstood the email. I forget how it played out exactly. But he shot off another email that was absolutely brutal. And you get mass emails, right, sometimes, group emails. And I was in the group, and I thought, man, this guy, because I know this guy's, you know, prideful. I thought, this guy is going to throw a fit about what this fellow wrote about him on this email. I mean, it was bad. It was terrible. If he'd said it about me, my first reaction would have been, Christine, get in here, we got to type an email. And I thought, man, this dude is in for it. And do you know, this guy sent out an email. I'll never forget, this was a teaching moment for me. This guy sent out an email and basically told that guy, don't worry about it, I'm sorry that you misunderstood what I was talking about. I in no way meant to hurt you or harm you. I consider you to be my friend. Let's let bygones be bygones, and, you know, to God be, he didn't say it, but to God be the glory. And I thought, wow. And do you know what that guy did that sent that bad email? You know what he did? He sent back an email and said, I am so sorry. I am absolutely so sorry for what I said about you and how I did you. And I apologize. And will you please forgive me? And I read that, and the Lord impressed upon me Proverbs 15:1. And I thought about it. A soft answer does what? Turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Say that, everybody, out loud. Say it with me. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. What'd he do? What'd he do? He came back with a soft answer. He didn't get back into the mix. He didn't get back into the fight. And this guy wasn't even born again. And I thought to myself, how much more should we be able to do that? And can we do that? The answer is yes, we can. And why can we? Because we've died. And Christ is the one that lives in us. And Jesus gave soft answers to people that were trying to get him into wrath. Can you say amen? See, and I'm thinking about in my career here and in the ministry here, I've thought about all the times that I didn't come back with a soft answer. My first response was this, and I know everybody can relate to this. I'm just being clear and transparent. My first reaction was, how in the world could they say that or do that to me? Well, they can, and they will. What determines victory is how you respond. What determines victory is how you respond. And so, I don't know if I've ever implemented that in my life, Therese, but I'll tell you the one thing that I did do, and you can write it down on a piece of paper. I quit talking about any of you. I just got to where I don't think about none of you. It's the easiest way to do it. No, I just quit. I cut it out. I won't do it. Because it stirs up wrath and anger, but a soft answer turns away wrath. And then let's look at Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb. Boy, there's been some good words this morning, haven't there? Peaceable, tender-hearted, forgiveness, gentleness, meekness, temperance. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb. Listen to this. Sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Whew. Y'all want to say that? Let's say that. Come on. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the bone. Y'all believe that? Does it work? Is it easy to say? Mary, I know I got your response on that. Is this easy to say? I can say this pretty easy. Is it sometimes hard to implement? Because it's hard sometimes when you know somebody's done you wrong. And it's hard to respond with love instead of vengeance. Amen. One more verse. Can I give you one more? Just because the Lord reminded me of it. Let's go to, and then let's stand up and I'll quit. I'm done. Let's stand up. I'm going to give you this verse. Romans 12:17. This is kind of fun here. I'm kind of concerned maybe I'm going to get my sermon. You may think wrong about it, but here we go. Romans 12:17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of how many people? All men. Verse 18. This is cool. The Lord led me here. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. If it's possible, some people won't make it possible. Right? Those darn Democrats. Amen. Verse 19. Beloved, what's he call us? Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And then verse 20. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, starve him out. Huh? If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. See, you know what's operating here? You know what's really operating here? You're operating the law of the kingdom, and because of how they're operating the law of sin and death. They're operating the law of sowing and reaping. We operate the law of the kingdom. We don't get contaminated by what they're involved in. We walk in the light of life and have peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Man, I can sure preach it. I can sure preach it, boy. Oh, man, I can preach it. Oh, Father, we thank you so much for your word. I would be a complete and total hypocrite, Lord, if I didn't stand up here and say I'm falling short of what I've talked about this morning. But be that as it may, I know my assignment is to tell what the word says and for people to be able to separate me from the word and to understand that whatever I'm sharing is a two-edged sword. I'm sharing it with the people, and it's coming right back to me. And so, Lord, I thank you this morning that you've ministered to me. You've talked to me through your word. And if you've been listening by radio or internet, if you're a Christian and you've been listening by radio or internet and you've been holding a grudge against somebody, we're going to ask you right now in the name of Jesus, divinely, supernaturally, we're going to ask you to release that grudge right now. It's not doing anybody, it's only hurting you. It's not doing you any good. Just release that grudge. I know they may have done you wrong. They may be in the wrong, but just release it anyway. Because the law of love is better than the law of wrath. And then if you're listening today by radio and internet and you haven't made peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, today's the day. Say this prayer with me. Say, Dear God, I've heard the word. I've heard about Jesus. And I want to receive him. I want to become a partaker of your divine nature. I want to escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. So I receive Jesus. I believe he died. I believe he rose again. And I believe he's coming back. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, I trust that you heard that and meant that. All of a sudden you get this great urge to go find the Bible and read it. Praise the Lord. If you need one, we'll get you one. Shock us one day and call us and tell us you need a Bible. Father, we give you all the glory, all the praise in the holy and mighty and glorious name of Jesus. And we are committed to finding out and knowing who we are in you. And not walking in the flesh. It's in the holy name of Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. We'll see you Sunday morning.